This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Why are you feeling so down?
Boy, I'm wiped. I've been I've been on the river for the last like 5 days.
And today?
Last night, the wife and I...
Did you raft here?
No, I went to Idaho.
You went down the Snake River and then all the way along the Columbia?
Yeah.
How long of a boat ride would that be?
36-hour ride just to get through Idaho.
Good God.
Just paddling away to get back to Portland.
It's like, why? There's nothing there.
You could be like that guy that sailed from Oregon to Hawaii
with his cat.
But instead of a paddle boat your way from, Moscow to...
That would be a terrible idea.
Yeah, I don't know. He's got like 3 million followers now.
How do you get through the dam? If you're on a paddle raft.
Oh, buddy, that would be a pretty epic story.
You know what I mean?
They just open the gate and let you through.
That class 35 rapid, yeah. It stops at 6.
Hell yeah, brother.
No, there's a staircase that you can walk down the side and then just kind of hop back into the water.
You got to carry your boat.
Nope, you got to stay in the canoe.
Well, the river that we raft in Idaho... Lewis and Clark did go down that river.
Let's take a look at this river. What's the name of this river?
Locksaw.
Locksaw River.
Locsha.
I'm seeing that here.
History here.
Locksaw is Nez Perce for big water.
I lived on Nez Perce Court in Tualatin growing up.
Same thing, Joe.
Yep.
Same
exact
thing.
Same exact thing. Same thing. I called myself Chief Joseph.
And Lewis and Clark went down this river, but it was so wild that they carried their canoes alongside of it.
The mighty Locksaw. Oh, yeah. I'm looking at pictures right now.
Beautiful. Oh, beautiful
some,
country.
Some bros getting thrashed by the waves.
But the best part about my trip is I took the wife to Pullman, Washington last night for the first time ever.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, she said the same thing.
Why did she
what
take
is this?
Me here?
She offered. She was like, let's go to Pullman. I've never been there. I was like, all right.
Well, what'd you do in Pullman? I have never been to Pullman.
Drank.
Yeah,
that's literally the only thing to do there.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, that's all you
seems
can do.
About right.
She was very surprised that it wasn't a bigger city.
Eat canned cheese.
I did pick up some cheese this morning.
Some Cougar Gold.
I got a fresh can of Cougar Gold and a 5-year-old can of Cougar Gold.
I have never had.
You've never had
Cougar
it.
Cougar Gold.
Well, Joe, when this can I've got is 5 years old.
You need to pop my Cougar
when
Gold,
it gets,
Jerry.
When it gets its 10th birthday. I will pop that cherry with you.
Is that how it works?
Yes,
like you age it in the can?
Supposed to wait. Okay, I didn't even know that, actually. I thought you'd just eat it right out of it.
You can. I mean, it's totally delicious straight up.
Oh, this is a Cougar Gold from the year 2017.
I don't even really like cheddar. Like, I love cheese, but like American cheeses aren't quite my thing. I'm more of a European cheese guy.
Real cheese, yeah.
But the white cheddar made up in old Pullman, Washington at Ferdinand's Creamery. That stuff's pretty hot fire.
Yeah,
it's a white cheddar. It's really, really good.
White cheddar is pretty bomb.
Tempting.
I'm down with it.
I'll take that Pepsi challenge over anything coming out of Wisconsin, I'll tell you that.
I mean, I've seen it at the store, not really knowing like the whole aging thing, but dude, now I'm excited. You gotta like throw like a big party with like some aged Cougar cheddar.
And it's a whole wheel too.
Woo!
It's the whole wheel.
You ate a whole wheel of cheese?
That's not even mad. That would be a bad
that's
idea.
Amazing.
That'd be a super bad idea. But I'm here. I got out of my car and walked, and I felt like 80 years old.
You felt like you were in a boat.
I felt like I was 80 years old.
Driving
my
sucks.
Knee hurts. Hey. My voice is shot.
Wait.
I turned 40 on Monday. It's
eight
like already
in
kicking
car.
In.
Happy birthday.
Wait, you turned 40 yesterday
no,
or
this coming Monday?
Ah, oh, nice. I'm going to have to get you a nice meatloaf or something.
Hey, on my birthday, I'm flying to Vegas.
Which, by the way, you technically do.
I technically do owe you a meatloaf sandwich.
Just meatloaf.
Meatloaf on the air tasting of meatloaf.
But I didn't do enough research to find out where I could just go and pick up a slice of meatloaf.
Let me tell
somewhere.
You what, I was really hoping you'd forget that.
Oh, no, I have not forgot. Because it kind of sounds good. Nice warm piece of meatloaf.
But you saw where my thought process was going. Like, look at game 3 of the Western Conference Finals. Absolute blowout.
So what were the two games that we were betted on?
It was not the Celtics Knicks. It was the other three games.
It was Celtics Knicks.
No, that game had already happened. And so then it was the other three games that I was like, they're going to be blowouts.
I can go back because I feel like I texted you saying that something about you eating that meatloaf. And yeah, I'll have to find. I text you on May 7th. How do you like your meatloaf? And you said, F me.
F me. Yeah. Yeah. I don't like meatloaf.
Well, I need to find out where I can get meatloaf like to go. Can I get a pickup order of meatloaf?
New seasons,
here in Portland. No, we're not doing that deli crap. We need like a restaurant that is known.
Well, I feel like most places, if I can, you know, use my restaurant brain cap here.
I feel like someone said Scavone's or something like
that. I feel like most places don't have meatloaf at all times. It's like a special.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
I feel like a lot of diners serve meatloaf. It's one of those go-tos, like as their lunch. You know, they got the club sandwich, and they got the meatloaf always right below it on the menu.
Yeah, it's just, I feel like someone said Scavone's has a solid meatloaf.
Scavone's? That's I don't even Scavone's. Know what that is.
Actually, close to my girlfriend's house off of Division there on the east side.
You live near everything. She does, I guess.
Might have to hit up some Scavone's for some meatloaf.
You know, I like that Division strip.
Dude, it was popping this weekend. Everybody was out in their grandma. I mean, yeah. It was...
How was the town? Anything happened while I was gone? Anything cool?
No, but... And I was wondering if they got to this in the news, but apparently a big old, like, safari down in Bandon got busted. And
really?
And they had to take away, like, 300-something animals because there was a bunch of meth and guns all over the place.
What?
First of all,
you had me at safari in Bandon.
I thought
Is this, like, Bandon, Congo?
No, Bandon, Oregon.
Bandon, Oregon?
Yes.
How's there a safari down there for, like, what, deer? And bears?
No, dude. I think there was like lions and crocs.
What?
Yeah, yes. They imported the good stuff.
Yeah, 300 plus animals seized, 3 euthanized. I didn't read that part. Following They're search dangerous. Of Oregon Coast Safari Park. I thought they were talking about the one in Winston, but that's not really the coast. The wildlife safari.
So they
there.
Brought in a safari?
No, this was a. It's called the West Coast Game Park Safari in Bandon. And police say 310 total animals were seized and relocated to sanctuary and rescue facilities.
That's super strange.
They say a chicken and a kinkajou were euthanized due to their poor physical
kinkajou?
I did meet some dudes. Yes. I did meet some dudes at the resort. I stopped to get some ice while we were up on the river, and they had all their camo on, and they were hunting bear.
Oh, good for them.
And I was like,
that's good eats.
I was like, oh, man, why are you hunting bear? He was like, because it tastes good.
Have you ever had that sliced thin on
He's
a
like, Ritz? We're from Wenatchee, and they don't let us do the pre-spring. Plus, you can bait out here. It's awesome.
Yeah, I got to find...
I was like, I've never shot a gun in my life. I would never kill an animal. You are terrible human being. No, they were very nice guys.
Yeah, drugs, guns, 1.6 mil, founder in Oregon raid of the Oregon Game
In cash
raid.
Or in drugs?
God. I'm guessing in cash.
Man, if I find one...
In cash and bonds and a dozen firearms.
I'll tell you what, bonds? If I find 1.6 million in a bust, like, I definitely only found 0.6 million.
Thank you. That's, I've... You know? I mean, you got body cams nowadays,
like, what's that number, actually? Like, was it 1.8 and you just kind of, you know... skimmed off the top a little 200K?
Oh, for sure.
No, if, oh, show,
If
dude.
All their body cams had, like, a black spot when they arrived to the crime scene, sure. But you can't get away with it now.
I don't know, man. At some point, that body cam's got to turn off, right?
Yeah, they found meth there also.
See, meth and animals just don't sound like a good fit.
Well, that was the whole point.
Especially safari animals.
That was basically the whole point of a Netflix documentary called, what is it?
Tiger King?
Yeah, Tiger
King.
Oh,
I never watched that.
Oh.
Wasn't that the biggest show during COVID? I never watched it.
You need to
I had, like, no interest in it.
No, you should sit for an evening with your wife, get really drunk, and watch it. Yes. I think you're missing out.
There's a bunch of characters in there that are just like, you are right at a central casting
for this. Oh, the thing I'm going to drink and show my wife for the first time, because she's never seen, is the Chappelle Show.
Oh,
like, I've got that in my back pocket.
Dude, the fact that she has not seen that, wow, she's in for a treat. Just episode one with with Clayton Bigsby.
I've always
wanted black white supremacist.
I've always wanted to say this for shizzle. Tiger Woods gets drafted by the black community in the racial draft.
The Asians or the black community. Which one will it be? Yeah.
Asians select the Wu-Tang Clan. Oh,
that's what I love about
ODB's
that show.
ODB's name is going to change to Old Dirty Chinese Restaurant. It's so good.
That's what I love about that show is the very first episode was the black white supremacist Clayton Bigsby. It's like they came out right away and they're like, this is what you're going to get for the next two seasons, just so you're aware. And people loved it. People loved every second of it. Congas Legas Rice. Sounds like a Mexican dish. Dude, it's so good.
So good. And you know, so every time you watch The Real World, there's always five of the craziest white people and one black person. Well, what if we found five of the craziest black people and put them around one normal white person?
Mad real.
Cognac.
I made a Chappelle Show reference yesterday.
Yeah?
He once rolled 77 sevens in a row. The World Series of Dice.
Now that you got your restitution, are you going to quit your job as a truck driver? Hell no, I bought this cold cash. I'm rich.
This is full of cigarettes.
A cool cigarette truck. Ashy Larry, Charlie Murphy. Man, that show's so good.
Well, I pray for the animals over there in Bandon and that they find a new home. One modified machine gun, 8 grams of cocaine.
I want to know how it was
modified.
Dude,
this place is awesome.
I mean, 6 grams of cocaine.
Wait, five?
Man. In fact, we didn't find cocaine at all.
This place was open since the 60s.
That's wild, dude.
How about that?
That's wild.
What a run.
Oakley Doakley. Well, we do got a baseball show for you tonight. There's a lot to get to. We'll have Fair or Foul at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour like we always do. Also, at the top of the 8 o'clock hour, we'll take a peek at teams that are under 500 that could sneak a run into the playoffs and potentially win it all. So we'll take a peek around the league with that. But we start with more drama in Beantown. This is the Hot Corner, Portland sports leader, 1080 The Fan.
You, listener, you advertiser out there could sponsor.
You could sponsor that.
Hell yeah.
Give me a call.
Email joe.fisher.
And prepare to give me $5,000 a month. Actually, I don't know how much it costs. I should probably find that out.
You should know that, Joe. Yeah, it's no your kidding. Job.
Yeah. Hey, we got a lot of S to sell, all right? Do you realize we have 6 other stations?
I do. I do understand the validity and the grind that is your job.
Oh my God, the Knicks are just, everything looks so difficult for them.
Like, I think they make it difficult on themselves.
I don't
like
know.
We were talking about this before the show. Yes, Indiana is playing great basketball.
They own their ass.
But I mean, I just think the Knicks are just a bunch of hustle dudes, you know? And so,
oh no, the Pacers are the hustle.
I was going to say the Pacers out-hustle the Knicks and they've got more talent overall.
But that's why I think it looks so hard for the Knicks, because I feel like all they can do is hustle, and they're being out-hustled, so they have nothing else to do.
I don't know, man. The Pacers just look like
my Pacers.
Absolute animals. They just, it's Nesmith is just every possession, just inside Brunson. He is inside the man.
I know it's been days.
There should be criminal charges put forth.
I know it's been days, and I'm late to the party, but the last thing I saw before I left the land of service and the land of the living was Hallie hit that shot. And when he pointed at Spike, I was losing my mind.
He was pointing at Reggie.
Oh, he was pointing at Reggie?
Yeah, he went and pointed at Reggie, who was on the call.
I was losing my mind because Reggie's my favorite player of all time. I hate the Knicks. Yeah.
Well,
I love it.
You'll be happy here in a couple days because this series is probably over.
Yeah, I don't like their chances against OKC, though.
I mean, I know it's only a 12-point game.
But it'll be the Paul George final. It'll be excellent. Look at us. We both had Paul George. We got rid of Paul George, and now we're in the finals.
Yeah, that is true.
It'll be great. It'll be great. Okay, so over the weekend, the Boston Red Sox, boss man Cooley, his team, his beloved team, I'm sorry to rail on them 2 weeks in a row, boss, so if you're out there, mass apologies to you. Alex Bregman goes down with an injury, hamstring. Sounds like he's going to be out for a little bit. And I don't know if this could have happened at a worst possible time, because you can't put Rafi Devers at third. Right.
Well, and so I feel like this, you just for some reason continuously choose not to, and just almost like piss him off.
You're like gaslighting your best player.
Well, even then, it's like Bregman goes down. Devers like, all right, goes to grab his glove.
Yeah, back to my spot.
And they're like, no. We still want you at DH. He's like, what the F is going on?
We're gonna call up a 21-year-old kid instead. How about that? Who doesn't even play third base?
God. Yeah, I think that. Well, granted that. Guy that they called up had a pretty good
Marcelo Mayer. I've got him in a fantasy league.
Pretty good start.
I've got him in a keeper.
You were on
league.
Him already.
I had him in a keeper league. I've had him for 2 years in a keeper league.
Yeah, he did pretty good against the Orioles the other day.
But I think we kind of talked about this last week with the Orioles. I think this is the white flag for Boston. This might be the last time we talk about them on this show. I think they're in big trouble here, because this Devers situation won't go away for some reason. He's not even involved in what happened in Bregman going down, yet his weirdness and how they're dealing with him is still shining so bright on that team that I don't know if they get out of it.
Yeah, and it's...
I would just call up all the kids. Roman Anthony, Mayer, you got Campbell in the outfield still. Just call them all up.
Well, it just seems like their consistency as a team overall, like, is just...
I saw Garrett Crochet threw a gem the other day, and they lost? Like, yeah, you can't do that.
He's the only one that's given him a whole lot. Pitching-wise, I mean...
You can't do that.
Welcome to being a Mariners fan,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah, this I know. I watched that for a long
Felix
time.
Felix Hernandez is career wasted.
Walker Buehler and Sean Newcomb have been all right, but, like, Tanner Houck, for after what he did last year, has been a shell of himself. This team is just inconsistent. And that is not going to cut it in the American League East when you're going up against the Yankees and then the Rays, who have been a hell of a lot better as of late. And really, like, it kind of seems like there is sort of this, because the American League is, there's so much parity, it does almost seem like there's a tier one and then a tier two and then the Orioles and White Sox.
It feels like a tier one, a tier three, and then the Orioles and the White Sox.
Yeah.
Like, there's no middle ground.
So it's just,
but
like,
we'll talk about the middle ground in the 8 o'clock hour.
And Bregman was playing really well, better than the start of the season. And yeah, I just feel like also, like, you could have had a little bit more normalcy if you were just like, all right, let's throw Devers back at third and try and, like, restore the clubhouse order in a sense. But yeah, I think this just pisses off Devers even more. It's like, dude, this was the guy that replaced me at third, and now that he's out, like, I still can't play third.
And I think the scariest thing about this whole situation is Bregman's going to opt out. I mean, he's going to opt out anyway because he's going to want more money, because he only signed that 3-year deal, which is, like, lucrative incentive wise. But he has opt outs after every single year. Like, he's going to opt out because he wants more money. But I also think he's going to opt out because he's not going to want to be there.
But that cracker box sure as hell's making him look better.
Without a doubt, we knew he was going to rake at Fenway.
And that,
we
that's
knew
just,
he was going to rake at
that
Fenway.
That helps you. It's hard to leave that kind of thing.
And Newcomb, I forgot about this. He was actually traded to the Athletics either today or yesterday or something like that.
Oh, really?
Yeah. For cash.
Ooh, the A's are loading up, huh?
Well,
my Oakland Athletics, my West Sacramento Athletics.
Well, they need to load up on wins because they are not doing that. As
I know,
late.
Dude, that's going to go the wrong way. Oh, we're sidetracked here. We're sidetracked. I think this is going to be a big problem. And we are now at a point that, I mean, do you start looking at trading Devers? Do you look at trading Bregman?
No, you're not going to trade Bregman because you just picked him up. I mean, this offense is pretty decent. But the pitching, and then, like, also they've had some fielding errors this year, which is our...
Well, Trevor's story is completely done.
Yeah.
How they trot him out every single day is beyond me.
And like I said,
he was an elite defender, and now he can't even defend.
It's just the consistency of this team kills me, man. It's just like, for 1 week, they'll be like, hey, this Red Sox team, are they good? And then you'll go another week, and you're like, oh, this Red Sox team is not very good.
And I think that's the reality.
And they just go back and forth, and it's just... They're lacking the consistency. Their pitching needs to be better outside of Crochet, and you know, I don't know where they're going to do that.
That's why I think I would just punt on the whole situation, because you're sitting there.
What's Devers? He's in what, like, year three of his contract,
something like that, and it's a lot of money.
Yeah, I know. That's what I'm saying.
I think he's
like,
over 30 mil.
Well, that's where I'm like, all right, is there a team that is just? Is there a front office? Is there some analytics bros somewhere of a team that are just so high on him that they're like saying, like, pick up the phone and you continue to call the Red Sox until they finally say yes?
They give up a ton of runs.
Yes.
They are third.
I wouldn't be surprised.
Third in the American League.
You know, actually, I want to look this up.
Behind,
this
was behind the
third
A's
year of his deal.
And the Angels.
This is the third year?
Third year, $27 million.
Oh, I guess they're fourth, excuse me.
27
mil?
27 mil.
That actually might be a deal.
I mean,
but Yoshida's contract is unmovable.
Yeah.
And that's unfortunate because I really liked him. And, you know, now in hindsight, I don't blame for DePoto not wanting to take on that contract. Remember we were talking Luis Castillo to the Red Sox for Tristan Cassis?
Well, yeah, now, I mean, in hindsight, Cassis is down.
But they would have made the Mariners take Yoshida, and I think that's what it is. So you've got this Devers situation that seems to never be going away, that you are like the Knicks in this. We're shooting yourself in the foot on it every single time. And now, you know, Bregman, who's your most accountable player you have, obviously the Cora-Houston tie, which is probably a big reason why he's there. When he goes down, it's like this thing just becomes a giant mess.
Well, and I was going to say this, and I stop myself, and I should have gone forward with it. But
just do it, Joe.
I was going to say, I was like, man, the Red Sox, I wouldn't be surprised if they lead the league in errors. They're second in errors behind the Colorado Rockies.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So, like, again, they're just...
And that's weird.
I mean, that's how the Orioles stole a game from them the other day. It was because of throwing errors, and it's just like, dude, you get, like...
And that's weird because Alex Cora played his entire career because he could play defense. He could never hit.
I mean, this team ain't good. It's.
I think that's the reality. I think every year we get soaked up by some of these major market teams. You know, like, for example, San Francisco got off to a really hot start. Now, I think they're the real deal. But we always kind of, whoa, Giants could be pretty good this year. And then they kind of become who they actually are. And I think we've been doing that with the Red Sox pretty much every year since 2018.
Well, and again, last year their pitching was way better than anticipated.
Yes.
And maybe this is just...
And they kind of hung around longer. Remember, I wrote them off in like April. I was like, this team's garbage.
And maybe this is a regression to the mean here from them.
Well, they've also kept getting hurt. I mean, seriously, what are we now? A third of the way into the season, pretty much officially. And if at this point you're sitting fourth in the AL East, you've got four guys down because of injury... you can't just keep going to dig. It's not like there's pitchers out there still like that.
The
you
well
can go
is pretty
get.
Shallow.
Yeah, yeah. As opposed to like hitters, which there's literally nobody besides JD Martinez. So what are you going to do? Call the season off? Maybe say, okay, let's spend some time on some developmental stuff. Is it Cora's fault? I don't know, man. With every guy going down like the next week, it's hard to keep any kind of consistent attitude in the clubhouse, right?
Dear God. I forgot what Trevor Story's contract was.
Oh, it's gross. Stupid.
6 years, 140 mil. That was signed ahead of the 2022 season. Missed 68 games in 2022. Missed 119 games in 2023. Missed 136 in 2024.
Well, and then, 2024, it was like the first game he dove for a ball and dislocated his shoulder.
That's right. Yep. and then 2025, obviously, this year, he has appeared in 51 of 56 games. He has an OPS of 589.
That's gross. I think I can honestly, confidently, comfortably say, unless there's a trade that goes down, this might be the last time we talk about the Red Sox.
Trevor Story hasn't been good since his first week of baseball. Do we remember that? He had like six home runs in his first seven career games. Everybody's like, this guy's going to be the next best.
Trevor Story was never good outside of Colorado.
Again, outside of his first week.
Garbage. Garbage. You suck.
Yeah, it's, again, man, and once this team just gets more consistency, if at least they have Crochet locked up for the future.
Yeah.
So you have your ace, and he has been Cy Young level this year.
Yeah. Yeah, he's been great. But again, they're losing those games. That's why I think this team is done.
Yeah.
I think it's easy to say goodbye.
Yep. This very well could be the end. Much to your chagrin, I know that there's someone on the text line that always likes to chime in when we're talking down on the Red Sox. And so I think this is him on the text line
there
right now.
There we go.
Bottom line is they've lost 13 one-run games. That's a killer, but also it'll even out. Their pitching staff is very injured. Haven't seen a healthy staff yet. Patrick, if there's a pale on Devers, it's not showing on the field. He was a laughingstock to start the season, now leads the league in RBI.
Does he lead the league? I thought Riley Green did.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, like, didn't Devers have, like, an 8 RBI game the other day or something like that?
I thought, like, it was two cubbies on the top of the RBI.
I don't know. Maybe I am too harsh on the Red Sox, you know, but they're a little bit of low-hanging fruit, you know? They're a major market team. They spend a gajillion dollars.
He had 8 RBIs against my Orioles in a 19-5 win.
He is third to Pete Crow Armstrong and Seiya Suzuki. So, yeah, two cubbies.
Ooh.
So leads the American League.
Exactly.
Sexy.
Leads A-League.
PCA, huh? Yeah. That kid came out of nowhere. All right, when we come back, I mentioned Riley Green. We need to talk about the Tigers. Are the Tigers the best team in baseball, and do you know what a Maddox is? We'll get to that next, but first, we'll throw it to Schultzy with sports.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
The biggest thing that kind of happened over the weekend outside of this Bregman news is Tarek Skubal.
Dude.
Threw less than 100 pitches, complete game shutout, 13 strikeouts, and zero free passes.
Throwing it back, making the old baseball fan happy. That's what starting pitchers used to do.
Dude, that gets,
back when men were men.
That gets my pants really tight.
Dude, it got me pretty hot as well.
Yeah, he threw a Maddox, and that's really, really hard to do.
I saw that, and I grabbed my girlfriend. I'm like, we are going upstairs right now.
It's really hard to throw a complete game under 100 pitches. And to get 13 Ks and zero walks, I mean, I'd like to know the last time somebody threw a complete game and had 10 Ks and no walks.
What's the game score on that?
What's his plus minus out on the field?
Well, and not only that, to end the game on 102.6 mile per hour pitch.
That's insane. Like, it's the fastest pitch recorded by a starter.
I think that's what I saw. Yeah.
I think that's what they say. Like a true starter, minimum starts or something.
Yeah, we gotta take a look at this Tarik Skubal line and see how it compares to some of the more recent outings.
It came at the right time too, because I just finished watching this Maddox documentary on MLB Network. Absolutely fascinating.
Apparently, it is just referred to as a Maddox. I had no idea.
Yep, under 100 pitches in a complete game is a Maddox, because he did it like 25 times in his career.
How can someone do that, and then now nobody can do that, apparently?
Well, you know, Rop and I talked about this a little bit, you know, a couple weeks ago on Primetime, that, you know, to continue to be good at something, you need to continuously do it. And that might be the problem that Major League, you know, I might be opening a can of worms here, but that might be the problem that Major League Baseball's kind of run into right now, is they're so conservative with starters. It's like, you give me five, and you're out, and I'm going to the bullpen. And it's done as an advantage, and I see the theory. I completely understand the strategy, but it is also not stretching pitchers out. You know, like, if you want to be a great golfer, Joe, do you go out and only do 13 holes? No, you do all 18.
Last couple rounds I had, I should have quit at 13.
But you know what I mean? You can't get better at golf if you're only doing 13 holes. You got to do the whole 18. So
this is the most ever strikeouts for a Maddox, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
How many Maddoxes have there been? You got Maddox stats?
I don't know. Skubal's 13 strikeouts are the most ever by a pitcher in a Maddox, passing the previous mark of 12 shared by Cookie Carrasco, 2014.
That's my boy.
Cliff Lee, 2011.
Oh, that's my boy, too.
And Sandy Koufax, 1964.
Bum. I never heard of that guy.
Didn't wear a Cleveland jersey.
Didn't wear a Cleveland jersey. Don't care. Cliff Lee, man. Ooh, he was good.
He wasn't bad. No. Dude, I mean, maybe this is, I don't know. Maybe he is just one of a kind. I texted you today, is he the best pitcher in baseball? And when he's, obviously, it's, you know, recency bias when you see a line like this, like, best pitcher in baseball.
Right. But I think the answer is yes. He won a Cy Young last year. So let's talk about who could be the competition. Yoshi's having a great year.
Yeah. And it's,
Max Fried is the hammer of my fantasy team right now. I know Rop's all over Yoshi. I'm all over Max Fried. And then there's Skeens out there who's still pitching well. Crochet, as we were talked about last. But I think the answer, you know, I love the boys in Seattle still. Gilbert and Kirby, you know, they're not going anywhere. But I think the answer is Skubal. I think it has to be.
Because we see one-off Cy Young years.
Totally.
All the time.
Ubaldo.
Yeah.
First one that comes to our mind.
So it's R.A. Dickey.
R.A. Dickey throws a knuckleball, won himself a Cy Young.
Love R.A. Dickey. So to see when someone has a Cy Young season like Skubal did last year and then backs it up with another great season in a performance like this, like, you want to see that longevity. And as long as he continues to do it, like, right now, he is the best pitcher in baseball.
I also think it helps that, I mean, his team is really exciting. They're kind of young. They're kind of flashy. AJ Hinch, for as much grief as he deserves for his actions or no actions in Houston, he's a damn good manager. And I think he knows that Skubal is not a guy to throw five innings and pull. You got to let the beast go. Jack Flaherty, you might pull him after five. If he's dealing, you might let him go six or seven. But I think it really benefits Skubal that he had playoff experience last year, won a trophy last year, and this team is really good, maybe the best team in baseball.
Also, just looking at his career line, never pitched a complete game, never had a shutout before. So I think even at a certain point in that game, there might have been talks in the clubhouse or in the bullpen about, you know, what he was doing. And Hinch is like, he's never thrown a complete, never shut, no shutout.
No.
Like, all right, let's just keep riding this. And again, the pitch count was good enough to where it's like, dude, he's going to eat.
I mean,
he's fine.
You get done with the eighth. And you're in the 80s of pitching.
Yeah, it's like, dude, we're still rolling with
You're going back out there.
Yeah. Well, and there's too many managers, too, in this league that would just go with the analytics and, we're halfway through the third time in the lineup.
And that's kind of what I mean. Like, that's the strategy, and I get the strategy.
I hate that. No, I don't.
I completely understand it, but it kind of reminds me of, like, when you're up by three at the end of the game and you foul so they can't get a three-point shot. It's a great strategy. I just think it's kind of bush.
Yeah, I mean, there's a
Carl
lot of...
Anthony Towns hurt his knee real bad.
It's been injured since last game.
He is not happy.
He was grabbing it at the end of the last game, and he was grabbing it at the beginning of this one. So.
Like you said, it looks so hard for them.
Dude, it's just everything.
Some of those situations call for just the feel of the game, right? It's not necessarily about the strategy itself, but it's about knowing how and when to implement it.
And
that's,
Yeah, I think that's why a guy like A.J. Hinch is so great, because he's got, you know... the Snitker and Melvin in him of the old school, but he's also got, you know, the Craig Council of the new school. And I think that's what makes him such a great manager. And I think that's why the Tigers sit here with the best record in baseball still, right?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
You have to excuse my ignorance, guys. I've been off the grid for
You're good.
For a while.
I would think too, as far as complete games go. This season, I bet you we have had less than five so far to start the year.
Yeah, I know Nathan Eovaldi threw one. I know Skubal threw one.
I mean, I at first was going to say less than three, but I was like, that's pretty low. We got to have at least less than five. But honestly, when you think about it.
It's a dead stat. I mean, it's a dead stat. I mean, wins are more dead than that. But the quality start is, you know, the best litmus test. And I don't mean to keep bringing up fantasy, but that's what you notice in fantasy. Like, we got rid of wins years ago, and we play with quality starts, and they are so hard to come by these days that if quality starts are hard to come by, complete games are going to be even more difficult.
All right, I got a list of all the complete games. We got Skubal from the other day, Stephen Kolek for the Padres on the 10th of May, so that's two. Eric Fetty on the 9th of May, that's three. Michael King on April 13th.
Oh, that's right. I remember Michael King.
That's four. And then Nathan Eovaldi on April 1st. No jokes there. So there are five exactly.
There are five. Yeah. That was opening day for him.
I'm seeing May 17th or 18th, Paul Skenes threw his first complete game, but he lost. No. So the Pirates, because they suck, gave Skenes a 1-0 loss because
Randy Johnson.
Maybe he went eight innings. I don't know. Maybe my math in baseball.
Yeah, like eight
Citizens
on the road.
Bank Park. I don't know. Citizens Bank Park would be where they play in Pittsburgh, if I'm not mistaken. Oh no, they're
on Citizens Bank's in Philly.
Yeah.
Well, they can't call it a complete. See, that's stupid.
Yeah, because he didn't pitch nine innings.
Yeah.
Then the Baseball Reporter then sucks, because I'm literally looking at a headline that says first complete game thrown.
Yeah, his first career complete game in an 8-inning 1-0 loss.
Alex Stumpf. Thanks.
I don't think
that's wrong.
Does a complete game count if you go 8 innings, but you don't see the ninth because your team gets walked off?
It sure doesn't, because you didn't play in the ninth.
But yeah. I thought technically it was the game, so it is. By asterisk definition,
we're not
a
walked
complete
off.
Game.
Yeah. Now I'm confused.
No, you're not walked off. It's because they had the lead, so you didn't pitch in the bottom of the ninth.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Exactly. You didn't have to.
Yes. Yeah.
So you didn't pitch a whole game. Sorry, man.
So
them's
his fault
rules,
his offense
I
sucks.
Don't make them up. I just enforce them and find a way to make them make sense. Yeah. They don't always make sense. But sometimes they do.
Well, those damn
sometimes they don't.
Those damn Pirates are pretty good, and Tarik Skubal is still really good. Regardless of what season it is.
I think the Tigers are great. I regret my Cleveland bet at A&A instantly. I think that team is really good. Riley Green had a slow start, but he's really bringing it up right now. Spencer Torkelson's back from the grave. This team's good. If they had an Alex Bregman, they would be even better. I'm going to bang on that drum the whole time. Alex Bregman should have signed in Detroit.
Well, I am intrigued to see what happens, maybe not in the top of the AL Central, but the rest of the AL Central sans the Chicago White Sox, because you have the Twins, Guardians, Royals all separated by two games, and they will definitely be jockeying for a wild card spot. If not one, two, maybe all three. Just like last year? No, the Twins did not make the playoffs last year. So the three...
The three were Cleveland, Detroit, and KC.
That's right. Yes, that's right.
Yeah. KC ran into the Yanks. Tigers-Cleveland was a great series.
Well, Cleveland won the division. Kansas City and Detroit were wild cards. And I'm trying to remember who
and Detroit played Cleveland in the first round, and Kansas City played the Yankees.
Well, I'm literally on the page. Oh, yeah, my Orioles won the other
Well, Kansas City played
spot.
The Orioles,
yeah,
and then they played the Yankees.
All right, let's forget about that. Let's get off this subject.
All right, we come back. There's a couple guys making their returns, but in different ways, and they are two of the three most phenomenal athletes and must-watch baseball. We'll get to that next. The Hot Corner, 1080 The Fan. Breaking news here. Not really breaking news. The Pacers are going to go up 3-1 back to New York, and I think it's safe to say this series is over.
Well,
Knicks don't look good, man.
Dude, they,
You said it, Joe. Like, you've said it the best. Everything looks so hard for them.
Yes. It's just like they... Everything they have to do, every bucket on offense they have to get looks like they're just scraping and clawing and just fighting for everything. And then the Pacers inbound it, and then it's like 5 seconds down the court, three, good.
Yeah.
And it's just like, well, that seemed really easy for them. Like, it's a very bizarre, it's been a bizarre series because the first couple of games were close. We obviously had to come back by the Pacers.
I love that Triple H just dapped up Tyrese Halliburton.
Yeah.
Time to play the game.
I swear to God, that'll stop your heart.
I love Triple H.
It's all about the game.
They say Triple H is a top five wrestler of all time. Like, in terms of, like...
Technicality.
Yeah, like, how you wrestle. Like, he sold everybody. He was great on the mic. Ultimate heel for the longest time. Like, remember when The Rock and Stone Cold were at their height?
Oh,
Triple H was the champ.
Yeah, and he was the heel.
And he was the heel,
he
and everyone hated him.
I feel like he never code switched. He was never the what do they call it? The face.
Yeah,
yeah. Like, never once I ever remember him being like.
Well, he was
except when he came back from his injury.
Well, he was a face with DX. Because they were fun.
Yeah, that's
true. I mean, they were bad boys, but he was a face with DX. But after DX disbanded, he became the ultimate heel and then eventually just stopped being a heel because as he got older, people were just, you're right, he got hurt.
Torn his quad.
He tore his quad completely off the bone.
Tasty.
And then when he came back, everybody lost their mind. Yeah, dude, I think he's top five. I think it's like him, Bret Hart, Shawn Michaels, and
Viscera.
And probably, you know, probably Seth Rollins, honestly.
Do you not like my Viscera reference there?
I don't like Viscera. I hated that whole thing. I hated that whole shebang. Although it did give me the Hardy Boys.
What about Gangrel?
No, I hate that whole thing. But it
The Brood?
But it gave me the Hardy Boys, so I'm cool with that.
You don't like the Brood?
Or no, not the Hardy Boys. Sorry, they gave us Edge and Christian.
That's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
Edge it, dude.
Gangrel with the wine. He'd spit it everywhere. If you're in the front row, you're like, what the hell,
man? Is this blood?
I don't know. I don't care what this is. This is disgusting. Was in your mouth?
Dude, Edge, I saw him on
He's great. They always say he was a great one,
too. Well, he's doing the AEW stuff now, and he looks like he's about to die.
Because he is about to die. His back is so jacked.
Give it up, man.
Give it up. Well, we got a couple guys coming back in the MLB, and I can't be more excited for this, too, for very different reasons. We'll start. Shohei looks like he could be on the mound sometime soon.
Oh, that guy returning. Shohei, is he a Dr. Jekyll or Mr. Hyde?
Which one's which?
That's what I'm trying to figure out. Which one is Mr. Hyde, a.k.a. is that the batting?
Gotta be. The and doctor then, is the professor who has to pitch?
Which one's the bad one? I'm trying to remember.
I think Hyde. Hyde's the bad one.
No. Yeah, Mr. Mr.'s the bad one.
Hyde's
Thank
the
you.
Bad one.
I always had to remember, like, doctor or Mr.?
Yeah, I don't know, but either one you want to place on whatever, he's going to be pitching here soon.
And I heard some blowhard say, they don't even need him right now. They don't even need him till September. Well, I don't know. Like, that texter who talked about the Red Sox pitching staff being injured, I give you the Los Angeles Dodgers. Blake Snell, not pitching. Like, that's huge. Tyler Glasnow, also huge. Not pitching. Old man Kershaw's coming into the rescue. Like, that ain't good. Gonsolin looked good okay there for a moment. I don't know if Shohei's going to start. I don't know if they're going to power, you know, use him like an Andrew Miller type situation, you know, run him out there in the sixth when you really need to stop. But I'm excited to see him get back on the mound. Did you see all his teammates, like, filming, and he threw some nasty slider, and
yes.
There's Kike in the background just jaw-dropped, like,
Yes.
I'm excited for him to come back. I think it's going to be fun.
Dustin May wasn't too bad, much to Buckley's dismay there. But
I've never heard somebody hate somebody for no reason more than Buck hated May today.
Well, it was a gambling purpose.
Oh, I know. I know why, because he's a degenerate now.
Big Bets Buckley. That's what I call
him. Big Bets Buckley.
He's coming for Will's crown.
We should have Buck and Will fight it out.
Yes. That Who can place the bigger parlay?
Who can lose more money? My money's probably on Will. I think Will loses a lot of money.
Dude, that's
my good buddy Will Ordner.
That pitch.
He has small units, though. So I don't know.
The pitch that you're referencing, though, the other day in the simulated inning or whatever. Mm-hmm. Oh, my God.
It was nasty.
Yes.
I've never seen anything like that.
Dude, I threw up.
I peed my pants.
I vomited on the spot.
If peeing your pants is cool, then I'm Miles Davis.
Yeah, it's. And just whenever I'm like out, I'm like, dude, just let Shohei hit. Like, he's going to get you possibly 60 bombs.
I know,
this
we were texting
year.
About this today. He's on pace for 58.
Yeah. That's the other thing.
You're going to go 60-60, amigo?
Well, that's the other thing that's just amazing about him is, like, you texted and I knew what you wanted to talk about was his pitching. And then I'm like, oh, yeah, by the way, we should maybe talk about how he's on pace for possibly 60 home
by
runs
this year,
too. By
the way, it's not June and he has almost 20 home runs.
No, he has 20.
Oh, does he
now.
Have
yeah,
20
he
now?
His,
oh,
yeah. He hit
Again,
his 20th
sorry,
today.
Apologies on the delay.
That's why I was saying he's on pace for, like, 59 home runs mathematically right now. But
it did so great. Speaking of great, flip side, the MVP before Shohei Ohtani, that would be one Ronald Acuna Jr.
Oh, boy.
And I get scared all the time when I think about Acuna. I'm worried he's Trout 2.0, but a lot earlier in his career. But when he plays, he's must-watch TV for me.
And just in time.
And that team needs that energy.
Just in time for my Braves.
Your Braves.
To storm back and maybe not win the division, but get a wild card spot.
Totally, totally. This team.
Strider's back. I forgot
Strider's
what he
back.
Did today.
Schwellenbach is pitching well. He had a bad outing a couple weeks ago, but I believe he threw a good game the other day.
Strider was decent today, 4 2/3 with 7 strikeouts.
That's coming back from Tommy John.
Yeah, second starts. Third start of the season, but second in.
But they need some kind of energy shot into that team. Albies is a disaster right now. Not playing well at all. Michael Harris as well is kind of a disaster. So if you can get Acuna in and bat him lead off, you know, maybe think about moving Ozuna up to the two hole. I don't know. Moral of the story is I hope he's healthy and I love, love, love watching him play baseball.
Yeah, I mean, again, seeing him.
He's
hit
like
the...
Fernando Tatis. They just got the flair, you know, they got the machismo.
Seeing him hit the home run yesterday, that was awesome. It was just like,
welcome
dude,
back.
Yes, it
good
was
to
just
see you,
like,
bud.
Dude, right, much deserved it after tearing your knee, like being out all that time. And it's funny, it's like the Braves now are, instead of losing everybody on their team, they're getting players back now.
Well, it's the best free agency you can have is guys getting healthy.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I hope this is, you're right. I hope
at least that's what DePoto taught me.
I hope that getting those two guys back, Acuna and Strider, injects something into this the life in the clubhouse because they need it. They're still below 500, and they're going to be fighting for a playoff spot, and we're going to get into it probably in the second hour here as far as teams that are out of the race who we still believe in, foreshadowing there. But
professional tease.
Getting those two guys back, especially Acuna, to hopefully just jolt some life into this lineup. That's
look,
huge.
The bones of this team are absolutely fantastic. Is Matt Olson Freddie Freeman? No. But Matt Olson is pretty damn good. And if you can get him, Acuna, if you can get Albies back on track, Austin Riley is probably their best offensive player right now. Again, if it's not, I'm sorry. I'm just getting back into it. And then you've got a three-headed monster potentially in your rotation. And that's including losing Max Fried to the Yankees, who's pitching out of his mind right now. Because if Sale can do it, Strider can do it, and Schwellenbach, and you get that offense rolling, that's going to be a very, very scary team.
Yeah, this team, though, it's very similar in the sense of another former World Series winner in the Texas Rangers, where it's like these teams had some amazing offenses, and now all of a sudden neither of those teams seemingly want to hit.
Right.
Or hit like they used to. It's like...
Ooh, we should probably talk about the Rangers at some point.
It's like, I don't know if it was just a flash in the pan and everybody just had the best season that they possibly could at the right time, but like Marcus Semien... Oh my God.
Rough.
I mean, the young guys on the Rangers, again, I don't want to switch teams completely, but that's kind of how it is with the
Evan
Braves.
Carter, like, have you, Evan Carter is on milk jugs, dude.
Like, but the Braves, I mean,
but
paging Michael Harris, paging Sean Murphy, for God's sake.
But to use your Texas analogy, Corey Seager's on the DL again. When he comes back, is he their best player? Of course he's their best player. You know, he's one of my favorite players in baseball, and I'm going to rally for him to get into the Hall of Fame someday. But Corey Seager coming back off the DL does not inject life into the stadium and the team like Ronald Acuña does.
Right.
When Acuña comes back and hits a home run, dude, that place was probably banging so hard when he hit that home run. And that's what you want to see. You want the best players playing. And right now, the best players in baseball are Shohei Ohtani, Aaron Judge, Ronald Acuña Jr., Bobby Witt, Tarek Skubal, and Paul Skenes. Like, is that our six right there? I mean, Mookie Betts. Like, I didn't even say Mookie Betts. So adding Acuña.
Don't forget, the crow in center field.
The PCA.
Yeah, baby.
And I just think baseball is in such a great shape. And when these young kids that are now vets and have won titles come back, you know, the game's very healthy. Look at the NBA right now. Ann Edwards, SGA, Hallie, and Jalen Brunson. Like, give me that in baseball. And we have that with Acuña coming back.
Yeah, no, it's good to see him back and just in time for our little mid-season push.
Let's do it. All right, we come back loaded second hour. Which teams flirting around 500 do we think can really figure it out and go on a run? Plus, fair or foul, loaded second hour. Don't go anywhere. Hot Corner, Today in the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Julius Randle. You know, I really liked him at Kentucky. I thought he was really good.
Yeah, well, he...
he was really good.
He's had a solid playoffs, but he is he's showing his true colors in this series. You can depend on him for a game and be like, dude, you're awesome. I love you. Okay, this is why you're drafted.
All right.
Yeah, let's go.
Color me intrigued.
And then he disappears. And then he comes back for another great game. And then he disappears again. There was definitely the... This Julius Randle thing was not getting past the whole smell test with me, where over the first couple series of the playoffs, I was like, okay, you're playing well, but I'm keeping an eye on you.
A little suspicious over here.
And then sure enough, this series happens. I mean, granted, they're playing a really good team.
I mean, Jalen Brunson's mine of that.
Yeah.
That I've been kind of like, throughout the playoffs, I'm like, you've been pretty good, but I don't know how sustainable this is. And sure enough, it's not really sustainable.
Well, again, dude, Aaron Nesmith is putting him through absolute hell. Like, Aaron Nesmith, obviously, from what he did in game one, nailing all those three-pointers, where it was just like, hey, man, you're pretty good. All right. Respect there. But what he's been doing defensively against Brunson, taking him at full court, if you even just watch him off the ball, like when Brunson doesn't have the balls in his hands, he is just, like I said, he's inside him.
It's Rick Carlisle, baby.
It's amazing to watch.
I love Rick Carlisle.
Yeah, it's awesome. The Pacers are just, if the Pacers Thunder matchup is what we get, I'm looking forward to it because
I think it'll be fun.
I'll
take the Thunder all day, but I think it's going
to
be fun.
You got a team in Indiana that flies around, that plays good defense, just has energy up to wazoo, and then you have a team in the Thunder that it's just like good luck.
Maybe the deepest team we've ever seen outside of maybe the year Iggy won the MVP of the Warriors.
Dude,
that team was pretty deep.
I got to pull this up because someone on, I think it was on Reddit the other day.
I'm really glad that I'm right about Chet Holmgren. Let me tell you that. I'm really jacked that I was right about Chet Holmgren.
Dude
is an absolute monster.
Someone on Reddit the other day brought up the 2019 Raptors, the NBA champion Raptors.
Oh, yeah, Kawhi.
And their roster and how insane it was. So, yeah, they had Kawhi, Kyle Lowry, Pascal Siakam, mm-hmm. Serge Ibaka, Danny Green.
Fred VanVleet,
Mark Gasol, Jonas Valanciunas, OG Anunoby, Norm Powell.
Yeah, baby!
Can't forget about Chris Boucher. Go Ducks.
Duh, go Ducks.
And then...
sounds gross coming out of my mouth.
And... Jeremy Lin.
Oh, the sanity.
But again, like they're like first 9-10 players, like
wow.
Dude. Yeah, it was just like, all right.
Those guys are all on different teams and made the playoffs this year.
You might have needed a Kevin Durant torn Achilles and Klay Thompson shredding his knee to win that, but that's a damn good
that's
roster.
That's a damn good roster.
That's a yeah. really good team.
That is crazy that that's how they win. Yeah. By two of the greatest players of all time going down with catastrophic injuries.
One of the greatest players of all time.
Klay Thompson's a Hall of Famer. You count as one of the greatest players of all time.
One of the best shooters of all time.
If you go to the Hall of Fame, you count as one of the greatest players of all time.
I feel like the Basketball Hall of Fame is a lot more thought, and he'll just slip in because of Steph.
Is this a Dirt and Sprague poll question-esque question?
What? Is Klay Thompson a Hall of Famer? Dude, he's got four rings, and he's one of the greatest 3-and-D players of all time.
He'll be.
How much did Steph carry him? How much did Klay
How much did Klay carry Steph, huh? Let me ask you that. Ain't
know.
No titles without Klay Thompson. Chump.
I don't know.
Chump.
I think a lot of that was because of Steph, Draymond, Iguodala,
Kevin Durant.
Durant was a big part.
Iguodala, baby.
Iggy. I love Iggy. I loved him. I loved him his entire career. He's going to go to the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I'm probably high as a kite right now. Klay Thompson should be a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, without a doubt, dude. Without a doubt. You got when you have dynasties, you put in the three best players.
I just don't like his face.
Why?
It's very flat. If you look at a profile of him, he's got a very weird face.
He don't make any sense.
His bust is going to look weird. Do they do the Hall of Fame bust for the basketball?
Basketball? I don't know. Is Michael's crying?
You just literally need to give it. It's just a flat piece of paper.
It's a 2D picture of Klay Thompson.
Yeah, that's all you need.
I drove by his house that he lived in college.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, yesterday.
This last weekend?
Yeah, yesterday.
Knock on the door. Klay, he's still here.
Klay, did you know that? Did you know that?
Can I walk around?
Oh, good times.
Did you party with Klay ever?
No comment.
Oh, don't want to throw him under the bus, huh?
Let's just say he's not a big drinker.
Is he Mormon?
No.
Oh.
He chooses other forms.
Oh.
No.
He likes to ride the slopes in Pullman.
Goes skiing a lot.
Huh?
No, not that either. No, he's no Iceman, that's for sure. All right, Joe, you brought this up, and I think this is a great little experiment we can dive into looking around the American League and the National League. We'll start in the American League, kind of looking around at teams that are kind of flirting at 500. Who could actually be good and make a run? This kind of all started...
Tickling the playoff taint, if you will.
Yeah, this all kind of started with Tampa railing off 6 wins in a row. They did lose today, but they are 7-3 in their last 10 games, and they sit right now at 500. So if we look at just the American League of teams flirting... With 500, I give you the Tampa Bay Rays at 500, the Blue Jays at 26-27.
No.
The Red Sox at 27-29.
I'll take care of that one early. I'll take care of that one early. No on the Blue Jays.
And no on the Red Sox.
Yeah, no.
The Kansas City Royals are 29-27. They sit in fourth place
in
that loaded division.
Who ESPN said that right now they have the apparent front runner for Cy Young, Chris Bubik.
No.
Yeah, that's what the ESPN, they did an article today of the who are the award leaders so
How
far.
How to prove to you I don't watch baseball.
Well,
ESPN's really good at that.
But also Chris Bubik has a 1.45 ERA.
I understand that. But do you believe that that's going to continue and Scooble's going to fall off?
No.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure Scooble's like a plus 100 now after his game on Sunday.
Dude, Seth Lugo could have got Cy Young votes last year.
Well, yeah, I'm sure he did get
He had a great year.
Yeah. But anyways.
Anyway, there's Kansas City Royals at 29-27. Let's see here. The Texas Rangers at 26-29. And the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, 25-28. And for funsies, no. I'll throw the A's in at 23-31.
No, you don't need to. That's fine.
Those last two teams.
I was going to say.
Dude, my A's, man. What happened?
They both
I heard they're the A's. I've been reading they've got a lot of issues in West Sacramento.
Oh, yeah,
at that field.
They don't like landing.
Did you see Mark
Kotze got tossed and he had to walk all the way to the left field? Because
that's where
minor league manager
style. Like, can you imagine the whole time he's walking, this is complete and utter bull.
He's going back to the dugout after getting tossed, and there's a guy there like, there's no exit here.
Well, yeah.
You can't. There's literally no door to go anywhere.
You can't be in the dugout. You got tossed. He's like, look, dude, please don't just make me walk to left field. The walk of shame.
Remember it was like the boisterous manager freakouts. I think his name was like Philip Wellman, the guy that would like toss his hat, toss his jersey, and then basically crawl over home plate. I think he was a AAA manager, and he always had to walk off into the outfield. It's just, it's crazy how up in Hillsborough, it's a single-A stadium. They have a clubhouse right behind the dugout. But apparently you can't do that, AAA. I don't know.
Okay, my A's are toast. Who do you like in the American League of these teams, Joe?
Of the teams that are fighting around that 500 mark, no on the Athletics, no on the Angels. I hate to say it, but no on my Orioles.
No, sorry, bud.
Yeah, not even close to 500.
They are playing a little better.
They, at one point this weekend, had a worse record than the White Sox.
Ouch. Really?
Yeah.
While I was gone?
Yes. And then they won a couple games against the Cardinals.
Oh. Hey, the Blue Jays fired Charlie Montoyo and then came back to the playoffs with John Schneider. It's a possibility.
Dude, Schneider's going to get fired.
I hate to say that my Rangers are out, but until they decide that they want to actually score some runs.
Yeah, that offense is really puzzling. Jock Peterson, no bueno. Seager's hurt.
He just got injured, too.
Seager's hurt. Marcus Semien, like, paging Marcus Semien. Where are you, bro?
I think he has one of the worst war, or there was some stat that I saw. He's one of the worst players in the league.
Playing every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's bad. Adelise. My guy Adelise. 211.
Oh.
Dude, I love
how many home runs does he have?
Seven.
Hey, that's not bad.
Yeah, well, 211 is bad. He's one of my favorite players forever.
But like, Evan Carter can't figure it out in the bigs. Yeah. White Langford's hurt, is he not?
I do not know. But I do know that the Rays are not hurt, and they're playing some really good baseball. And I know that they're the flavor of the week, but
I mean, that's Kevin Cash.
I was gonna say classic Kevin Cash.
That's what they do.
They're pitching, while it's not amazing, they do not put unnecessary runners on base. And on offense, the guys they do get on base, they steal them. And that's what that's Kevin Cash baseball to a T, is that we may not be mashing home runs, putting up 20 runs, 15 runs a game. But if we get our guys on base, we are going to snag second, we're going to try and get third, and we're going to try and get home. And we're going to do anything possible to make that happen.
And that's without Junior Caminero playing well, because he's been pretty rough.
Right.
As a young kid, he's been pretty rough this year.
No, dude,
Taj Bradley's been great.
Their best player offensively, Jonathan Arenada. Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah, and he doesn't even play every day.
Zach Little, Taj Bradley each have ERAs at four or above. Ryan Pipiel has a 3.5. Shane Baz, almost a 5 ERA.
That's brutal. How are you winning games?
Former Beav, though, Drew Rasmussen, 2.6 ERA.
So McClanahan back yet?
I don't believe so, no. But
they're just that team that you can never count them out.
They just take
because that's what they do.
And
the ball's gonna fly at Steinbrenner Field in Florida as it heats up.
Hey, you got that short right field wall, you know. By the way, McClanahan threw from 90 feet on Friday.
Ooh, I like that. I like to hear that. I like Shane McClanahan a lot. I think you're spot on with the Tampa Bay Rays. I think they're going to be really feisty. I don't believe in the Rangers. No on the Blue Jays. No on the Sox. No on everybody below that. Kansas City is 29-27. That division,
it's going to be a juggernaut.
It's going to be really rough, especially with the Twins playing a lot better now. Like, it's going to be pretty tough. You know, the Twins won like 12 in a row and we're still in fourth place for a while.
Yeah, and I try to always remind myself and of anybody else that 6 of those wins came against the Orioles. And 2 of them were against the Brewers, who are not playing particularly great division-winning baseball again. So we'll see. We'll see if that passes the sniff test over time.
They're above 500 and decently, but you got a pulse on the Astros yet?
I do not. I just know that they have Hunter Brown, who is pitching great, extremely well. And I don't know, man. It might be one of those death by a thousand cut things again.
God, I hate this. I hate this. Why are we doing this again?
Dude, that's just what they do, baby.
Jordan Alvarez isn't back yet, too, because he gets his hands all numb.
Yeah, it's they're weird, man. I think they might just ride their starting pitching, which has always been really good, as long as they've been this iteration of the Astros.
Yeah, this new wave.
But
boy, they'd be good if they had Kyle Tucker. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, right. it does seem like one. I don't know. They are hard to gauge because this is such a different version of them.
Right.
That I can't say like they're going to be there in the end and guarantee it. Because
it's Altuve. It's not even the same pitching. It's not even the same managing staff, coaching staff. It's Bregman and then a bunch of other dudes.
So it's very bizarre. But
Peña is a World Series MVP.
As far as the team that is on the outside looking in, I would say it's going to be the Rays that maybe usurp. I don't know, man, whether it's the Guardians or the Twins. Because I look at the Astros and I'm like, dude, they're going to find a way somehow. Those dirty bastards.
I hate it so much.
Like, so if I'm gonna put my money on any of the teams outside of the wild card right now, I'm going to say that the Rays sneak in there because Kevin Cash, man, he knows how to coach a team that doesn't have a lot of resources, and it's just playing scrappy baseball, man.
Yeah. It's not sexy to you, but it's sexy to me.
And it's sexy to wins.
Yeah.
That win column.
It's all about the W, baby. Yeah. I like KC to figure it out, too. I still don't believe in the Twins. I won't believe in the Twins until they prove to me otherwise. And if they make the playoffs, they'll play the Yankees, and they'll get smoked.
Well, KC's the classic case of bad hitting, good pitching.
Yeah.
So.
With, top five player in the league. All right, let's wrap this up. Next segment, we'll switch over to the National League, which I think has a lot more scary possibilities. Do that next. Hot Corner, Today in the Fan. Carrying over from last little seggy, we get into the National League of teams hovering around 500 that you feel pretty good about. Now, what's going to be really, really tough in the National League before I go through these teams is that, like, I'm looking at wild card standings right now, and there are a lot of teams that are over 500 above the 500-ish teams. So it's like, that's a big log jam.
Say that again, sorry?
Maybe I didn't explain that.
My brain don't work so good.
Maybe I didn't explain that. So San Francisco Giants right now are fourth in the wild card, and they're 31-24.
Ah.
So in fifth, you get to 500 teams. The Milwaukee Brewers are 500. The Cincinnati Reds are 500.
Mm.
The Arizona Diamondbacks are 500.
Mm.
The Atlanta Braves are 25-28.
Mm.
The next team we'll go ahead and say are out is the Washington Nationals at 24-29.
Mm.
But I don't think we believe in them yet. They need another year or so. Those kids aren't quite ready. Of all these teams, it's so fascinating too with these teams. Cincinnati, it's kind of like a Kevin Cash thing. I'm never going to count out Tito. Never. I'm never going to count out Tito. So we could see how that goes.
Until he meets a can of tobacco. Oh, Joe.
I think the Diamondbacks are too good to be this bad.
Yeah, especially like the way that, like, and I know one player does not a roster make, but the way that Corbin Carroll's playing this year, it's like, dude. Like, he was bad last year and you guys were decent. Like, now he's playing amazing this year and you guys are barely scraping by. What the hell's going on?
Have you seen Perdomo? He's been absolutely fantastic. Eugenio Suarez, he's been absolutely fantastic.
He has. He's hitting dongs.
You got Corbin Burns on the bump that you're going to trust every 5 days.
Yeah, outside of him, though, and, you know, he does not have a very Corbin Burns-esque.
Zach Gallen is not having a consistent year. He's had some good starts in him, but he's had some rough starts in him. Brandon Pfaadt, we're like waiting for him to take that step, but that step just hasn't come yet. Former Hillsborough Hop, Brandon Pfaadt.
Yeah, it's they should be better. They should be better. They started off great, but I don't know. They've taken a step back here. I think that the team that is outside of the playoff race, I think, can make a surge. And we talked about it the last segment of the 7 o'clock hour. Find that wherever you get your podcast. Is the Braves,
without a doubt.
Yeah,
three-headed monster in the rotation.
You get
top five player in baseball coming
MVP
back.
MVP player in Acuna and a Cy Young-esque pitcher. Maybe one day, if not at least an ace of your lineup. And Spencer Strider, I mean, you literally just got two of the best players in their respective positions to come back onto your team. If that doesn't do it for you, I don't know what will.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Now,
this is kind of a big, like, June's going to be a really big month for Atlanta.
Now, as far as who they replace in the wild card race, I don't know what I need to see from the Giants. Well, right now, I mean, the Giants are, quote unquote, the odd team looking out. Right now, the Cardinals and them are tied for that last. I don't believe really in either of those guys. Like, teams, rather.
I'm not sold on the Cardinals yet. I think they're building something. I think they're getting close to being, to doing Cardinal things, like, in the past. But I just, who are their five best players, you know? It's kind of like a team of figure it out sort of thing.
Well, Brandon Donovan is having a great year.
Yeah, and Sonny Gray's pitching well. But yeah, I'm with you. I don't believe in the Brewers. I don't know why. I never believe in the Brewers, and they always win that division.
Well, they are having a they're having a down year. They are regressing back to the mean. I think that we were surprised at how well they played last year, and it's kind of showing itself now.
Well, my money's on Arizona and Atlanta, but here's the problem. You think the Mets are going to fall off?
No.
Do you think the Padres are going to fall off?
No.
That leaves one open spot.
Yep. Yep. Exactly. And that's
I mean, unless you feel the Phillies are going to fall off, which I don't.
No.
The Cubs are raking. Yeah. They need pitching, but they are raking.
They're really good.
And man. The Dodgers are the Dodgers.
Yeah. And yeah, I think that is that kind of that process of elimination. It's like, all right, it leaves either the Cardinals or the Giants. And again, the Giants, I felt like it would happen a little bit sooner than this. I remember it was like the first or maybe it was like the second week of the MLB season. We were sitting here and I was like, I don't believe in the Angels hot start. I don't believe in the Giants' hot start. The Angels have proven me right. The Giants, it's taken a little bit longer than I anticipated.
That Paris kid got sent down for the Angels. Did you see that?
I didn't.
Yeah, they sent him down because he's batting like 111
in
the month of May.
So, yeah, the Cardinals, they have a good offense, but outside of Gray and Fetty, not really trusting their starting lineup. And I will say the Giants are playing really well. I mean, Logan Webb is amazing. Jung Ho Lee
is having an awesome season.
It seems like Robbie Ray decides that this is going to be a good year for him.
Yeah, I saw that on the text line. Is he just good every other year?
He just walks into spring training. He's like, you know what? I'm going to suck this year. Or, you know what? I'm going to be lights
out
this year.
Awesome this year. So, this year, I'm just going to have Tommy John.
Like, dude, he is one of the more perplexing pitchers of our generation where it's like, is he good?
Is Joe Flacco elite?
Yes, and yes. Like, I honestly want to look at his year-by-year baseball reference page because it is just like, I'm sure it's just like 5.8 ERA, 2.9 ERA, 6.7,
1.9.
It's just like, dude, what the hell?
Let's do that in the break. When we come back, it's everybody's favorite, fair or foul. But first, we'll throw it over to Schultzy with sports.
Is it fair or is it foul?
Fastball tapped at the plate. It'll trickle down the third baseline. The Mariners are going to let it roll, 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 roll.
A knowledge test to see how well they know the big leagues.
Lenny Randle gets down on his hands and knees and blows on it like a curler, and it goes foul.
And what our distinguished hosts think about the stories that popped up around the big leagues.
But he got down on his hands and knees and literally blew the ball across the foul line.
This is Fair or Foul on the Hot Corner on 1080 The Fan.
All right, this is everybody's favorite Fair or Foul. We do it at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour every single Tuesday. And let's let this bad boy breathe. Tried to break early. So we could actually have some fun today.
By the way, Robbie Ray, for the most part, has kind of confirmed
that he's not very good.
No, that well, this
he's
year
a
he
former
is
Cy Young Award winner.
He is good this year, and it seems like kind of every other two seasons he decides he wants to be good. This year, dominant 7-0, 2.56 ERA. Last year, season got cut short, 4.7 ERA. The year before that, his last year in Seattle, did he have Tommy John or something like that?
He did.
So he barely pitched that year, 8.1.
It went down like his second start of the year.
His first full season in Seattle, 3.71.
Pretty
his
good.
His last season in Toronto with his Cy Young, 2.84.
His Tommy John season, he had 3.1 innings pitched and then had Tommy John.
Okay, so it was done. Just his first start. That's what it was.
An 8 ERA from that game.
His first season in Toronto, he went literally like 4.79. Last season in Arizona, literally went like 7.84, 6.62, 3.93 in Arizona, 2.89, and then 4.90. So the dude is an absolute roller coaster ride, and the Giants are riding the high of it right now.
But hey, he's 7-0 right now with a 2.56 ERA.
Yeah.
We'll watch him. All right, without further ado, we turn it over to our fantastic producer, Schultze.
They got the better end of that trade the Giants did, because sure Mitch Haniger, what is he, sitting on his couch watching YouTube videos?
They sure did.
One less ball.
But, I mean, you had to get rid of Robbie Ray, though. That was a salary dump.
But they literally got back basically a month of Major League production and what, a broken outfielder that ended up being released the next season. Like, it was a terrible trade. Yeah. And at the time, I feel like it was just done with short-sightedness. And now, oh, look, long-term, it screwed you even worse.
Just, hey, when Robbie Ray has a 5.8 ERA next year, you'll be fine.
You'll be fine.
Honestly, I think, dude, it's not just me, you guys. What is he making, like $23, $25 million? I think there are 20 teams that would take that, even if it were an off year of Robbie Ray, because what he's producing for you this year for the Giants, that $20-plus million salary is cheap. So, just saying. All right, guys. Let's see. What do I got here? Ooh, starting off with something we hit on last hour. Go get your podcast anywhere you get your 1080 The Fan podcast. Rhymes with Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Ha ha ha. It's actually those words. We were talking Detroit Tigers. They have the best record in MLB so far. Pretty shockingly, it's, I mean, led by great guys like Spencer Torkelson, Tariq Skubal.
My Tigers.
Your Tigers.
Yeah, congrats, you guys. Your Tigers. I know you're heavily, heavily invested in them, but people have said they're the best young team in baseball since their surge last season into the playoffs. But do you think they can keep that going to the end of this season? Fair or foul, the Detroit Tigers will finish the season with the best record in Major League Baseball.
Ooh, sexy.
Ooh. Chop that line up.
In Major League Baseball?
In all of Major League Baseball, because they got the best record right now by a game, so figured, why the hell not? Everybody.
I'll go first. I'll say fair. I like it. I like this team a lot. I think we're watching the American League East fall apart. I think we're watching the American League West fall apart a little bit. That division is really, really difficult, sure. But I think the American League on a whole is kind of weak. Yeah. Yeah, I'll take it. Give me the Tigers. I like the Tigers to have the best record in baseball at the end of the year. I don't necessarily like them in the World Series. I think if Carlos Rodon continues to pitch like this, the Yanks are going to be a tough out. And who knows? By the way, Logan Evans right now for the Mariners, it's in the top of the eighth, and he has 75 pitches.
We might see what, ninth or tenth complete game of the season so far? It's a 7-1 lead. Danny's got to leave him in. The bullpen needs a break.
Oh, and Josh Bell goes deep.
Are you serious?
No.
I was just like, are you like 10 seconds ahead of me? Like, what the hell
I hope this
going
happens
on?
Again, because remember the hoppy thing from a couple weeks ago?
I hate you.
Damn it!
Now I'm really hoping that Josh Bell just goes yard here. he got walked. Lame.
I will say fair. Yeah, I like it.
Well, I am curious. Curiouser and curiouser I become.
Curious and curious.
How much of the Central Division they have played so far? Just taking a quick look. They played the Guardians once. They played Kansas City once. The Twins once. So they played each divisional opponent once. Because I just wonder, as the season goes on and they have to face those teams a little bit more, if there's going to be a couple more losses.
Let's see here. I've
what
got
the toughest remaining schedule looks like.
Got their schedule up. They are about to go to Kansas City.
All right, I'm going to Tankathon here. They're going to tell me the toughest remaining schedule in baseball.
Then in June, they have the White Sox. They host the Cubs at the Orioles. Host the Reds, Pirates, Rays, A's, Twins. That's the month of June.
So I was going to say that that the Cubs will usurp them and the rest of baseball with the best record in the MLB by season's end.
Oh, dude, July 29th, they're hosting the Diamondbacks. It's Grateful Dead night.
Oh, find your way down there, man.
To Detroit? Dude, I hate the Tigers, man. I can't go there.
With some caps, man.
Grilled cheese sandwiches, maybe.
Detroit has the fourth easiest schedule remaining in baseball.
Nice.
My Cubs have the fifth easiest remaining schedule.
You watch your
baseball.
Mouth with that stuff. That's our, my Cubs.
Our
Cubs.
Cubs have the fifth remaining schedule. I am going to say that the Cubs usurp Detroit, and they end up becoming the team with the best record in baseball.
They will do it.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Cubs. I'm flying the W, baby.
Dude, I love the Cubs.
I love it.
Fight it like a crow.
Fighting like an Armstrong. Fight milk.
All right, guys, let's get into another one. In the last couple of weeks, obviously, seen a couple of managers go. Rockies manager Bud Black gone. Derek Shelton of the Pirates
gone. And that was it. No one else.
Sorry. Spit all that night. And now Brandon Hyde for the Baltimore Orioles. Yes, there are probably a couple more to go, but a lot of the discussions around, especially the lesser teams like the Rockies or maybe the White Sox, who have a brand new manager in Will Venable but don't really know what the hell to do elsewhere in their organization, talking about the amount of money that they spend, not really on players, because we've all talked about a salary cap or a salary floor in every sport, especially baseball, but we haven't gotten anywhere. But it's interesting to see the difference in money that teams spend on development, on even like a nutritionist, for instance. You know, if you've got a smaller scouting department, say like the Rockies do, or you only have one Moneyball type analyst like the Rockies do, you're just not up to par like other teams. I've heard, and I made this point a couple weeks ago on the show, that when you go to the Rockies, they just kind of tell you, hey, get out on the field and play, kid. Whereas opposed to you go basically any other organization in Major League Baseball, the Mariners, the Yankees, the Dodgers, they will present you with data, they'll present you with info, and they have the tools to try to help you get better as a player. So guys, fair or foul, are we at the point that MLB needs to mandate a minimum amount of money all teams must spend on things like trading, scouting, coaches, and player development? Fair or foul?
I'll go first on this. I don't think so. I think you got to kind of let teams operate the way they want to operate. You know, if Tampa wants, you know, look, Tampa doesn't spend a lot of money, but they invest a ton in analytics. That's the route they want to go. Snitker in Atlanta, he ain't doing analytics, you know? And I think you run a dangerous path of kind of telling teams how to operate, you know? If you tell teams how to operate, you don't get a Billy Bean. You don't get a Theo Epstein. You don't get a Dave Dombrowski. You don't get a Brian Cashman, you know? And I think it's a little dangerous to kind of dictate how to operate. Now, I see your point, though. I do want there to be a way where teams are putting in the same kind of effort as everybody. I just think how, you know, if it's nutritionists versus analytics, I think it's a little tough to force teams to go that route if they don't want to. And crappy organizations are going to be crappy organizations.
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Patrick on this and say foul. There definitely should be a salary cap minimum, as we have talked about before on this show.
I want the floor desperately.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as far as they need to spend the minimum this amount. But yeah, as far as what they're putting their resources into and what parts of their franchise, that's a little bit tougher to gauge. And I don't want to be like full-blown conspiracy theorist, but like them cooking the books and saying, oh yeah, we're spending this much on this. Yeah, don't you worry. And MLB is like, all right, check, you know. Yeah, I say foul on this, that teams, how they want to operate, spend their money on to make their teams better, that's on them. But the one thing they should as hell spend a certain minimum amount of money on is the players.
Yeah, you can't have a $30 million payroll.
I mean, to that point, the Marlins, for instance, signed at the time Giancarlo Stanton to that massive deal that basically everybody behind the scenes knew they had no intention of fully paying out on.
Right.
There was another one. I think the Rockies signed, Nolan Arenado at the time to a big deal. They ended up trading him to the Cardinals because it was just not. It was just this belief that they wanted to give their fans that they were spending this money when they did not want to. So that's a good point, too. All right, guys, next one up, fair or foul. Kyle Schwarber in the news. Last week, hitting his 300th career home run. And got me thinking, he is one of the most, I would say, successful home run hitters in the last decade in Major League Baseball. Walks a lot, hits a lot of home runs, strikes out as well. That three true outcome hitter in Major League Baseball that we all love. But he's actually upped his average the last couple of seasons. 248 last year with 38 bombs and 257 this year with 18 bombs so far. And, of course, his 300th home run up to 302 career, guys. At age 32, fair or foul, Kyle Schwarber will hit 500 career home runs.
I'm going to say foul. I feel like that we're going to start seeing some breaking down here soon. But he does kind of feel like this generation's Adam Dunn. in a sense.
And Adam Dunn's got over 400 home runs.
Or bite my tongue, Jim Thome.
Tome has 600 home runs. Dude. Yeah, you Jim Thome is it. You watch your
it's
mouth.
That's freaking legend.
Garbage coming out of it.
Jim
Thome is a first ballot bona fide Hall of Famer.
True or false? Kyle Schwarber, best player from that Cubs World Series team.
Fair.
Kind of looking like it. At
everybody
this
else has dropped off the planet, unless you count the comeback player of the century in Javi Baez.
Yeah, actually.
But yes.
That's also fair.
But yes, I think you are right. Kyle Schwarber is the best player from that team.
Not to hijack fair or foul here, but
I am optimistic on this. I'm going to say fair. I do think he will get to 500 home runs. He hits 40 every year. So can he do that 5 more times? Maybe. At 32? Maybe. You know, he DHs. He doesn't play in the outfield. The question is Kyle Schwarber always seems like a player who's really good, but nobody really wants him. You know what I mean? Helps the Cubs win a World Series, then goes to the Nationals, then goes to the Red Sox, then goes to the Phillies, where he seems to have found a home, but I think he's a free agent at the end of the year. So that's the strangest thing. The second fascinating part to this is if Kyle Schwarber hits 500 home runs, is Joe Flacco elite?
Shut up.
Is he a Hall of Famer?
Get out of here.
Does he go into the Hall of Fame because he broke 500? Because when I watch Kyle Schwarber, I say that is a very good home run hitter. But never do I think he's a Hall of Famer.
Is Clay Thompson a Hall of Famer?
He is. Dude, he's got 4 rings, bro. He's got 4 rings, one of the best 3-and-D to ever do it.
We'll find out.
Stop.
I mean,
but you know what I mean? Yeah. Like 500 gets you in, but Kyle Schwarber never strikes me as a Hall of Fame player.
I don't know, dude. I feel like he's. I'm picturing myself in, what is it, 7-8 years from now, and I just can't. I can't put the vision in my head. That's Kyle Schwarber's 500th home run. It just doesn't seem like that's a plausible thing that's gonna happen.
Yeah. Yeah, you can almost kind of hear stuff in your head.
Yeah, you try and play the image, and it's just not happening.
Yeah, Spencer Strider has thrown the 29th perfect game. You're like, oh, I can hear that.
He would have to remain exceedingly healthy for this to happen.
See, that's what I'm saying. It's like he's been, I mean, this is, what, his 9th, 10th year in the
10th
mix?
Or 11th, yeah.
Yeah.
Something like that. So you're saying that he's going to give me 7 to 8 more seasons of at least 30 home runs?
I'm trying to be optimistic and have him get 500 because I want to see if he doesn't make the Hall of Fame.
I mean, I thought that was the 500 is a clear.
Dude, if he continues at this pace and gets 500,
that's the number, man.
I would probably put him in. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Well, I'm not in yet. No, not at all.
Wow, okay.
Not at all.
See, I don't know. It could be one of those things that, I mean,
is he like a Craig Biggio? You see, Tim Rock Reigns gets in on his 10th ballot.
I got to stop myself because I think that's one of those where it's like, all right, congrats on hitting 500 home runs, dude. That's what you're going to be known
that's
for.
That's what you're known for.
Like, you are Adam Dunn at that point. Like,
you're better.
You were just.
Oh, I'd rather have Kyle Schwarber than Adam Dunn.
I don't know, dude.
Really?
I mean, I feel like Adam Dunn. By the time that
Kyle Schwarber's
career is over.
Kyle Schwarber's a leadoff hitter who bats 200.
By the time that Kyle Schwarber's career is done, I bet you that Adam Dunn will have a better resume than Kyle Schwarber.
All right. Interesting.
We'll have to talk about this in 8 years.
We'll see you in 8 years, Joey.
Oh, man. Good stuff, guys. All right. Final fair or foul really quickly. Got to do with Julio Rodriguez actually having, I would say, one of the best early parts of the season ever in his career.
He's batting .280.
No, he's batting .240 right now, but it's hell of a lot better than .210. Over the last month or so, he's batting .280, but he's got 7 home runs.
You gotta love optimistic fans.
In that span. Well, I'm not trying to be optimistic. I'm literally looking at his stats from earlier years, and April, May just look like ass for him now, actually looking like he knows what he's doing. Early parts in the season. So, guys, Julio, of course, has kind of been the main part of the Mariners' batting lineup. Cal Raleigh maybe inserting himself in there in the last year or two. But the team kind of goes as Julio's gone. So, by the way, they are up 7-1 right now. He has hit a 2-run bomb tonight. Cal Raleigh with 2 as well. So, fair or foul, guys, Julio Rodriguez will set a career high 4 home runs this season. He's only hit 32. That is the most in his career. I say only because this is a guy that people expect to hit 40 a few times. He's in that Bobby Witt realm. He's in that young superstar realm. I'm sorry, you don't think he is, Joe, but a lot of national prognosticators think he's that young superstar that's supposed to hit those kind of numbers. So fair or foul, guys, he will set a new career high in home runs this season, more than 32.
All right. I will preface this by saying he is still very, very young. He's very young. 24 years old, so yes.
Extremely athletic. Boy, I love watching him play in center field.
He is like the Shaden Sharp of the Seattle
kind
Mariners.
Kind of is.
Ooh,
kind
I
of
love
is.
That comparison.
The talent is there.
Yeah.
You can see it.
And everybody's just
it
kind
leaps
of...
leaps off the page.
Yeah, it has these moments where I'm
that
like, dude, he's...
great, great example.
He is the future of this team. And yeah. Then you're just kind of like,
damn it!
Right? Right? He's the future. Like... And yes, well, very true. It's like, oh, yeah, he's having a good start in terms of Julio Rodriguez starts. And I'm sorry. I was just getting so worked up over Jordan talking about him that I completely forgot the fair or foul.
He will
is.
Have more home runs this season than any other season.
Career
more
high
than
32.
32.
He
had 32.
So 33 or not, fair or foul.
And he's got 9 so far, and we're a fifth or
he
a
hit,
third
so
through the season.
10 tonight. And yeah,
so 10. So he's on pace for about 30 home
about
runs.
About 30 home runs.
I'm going to say fair because he turns it on late. That's how he plays, is that, you know, once he gets past All-Star break, makes adjustments, does something different. So at this point, I will say fair because this is the best start of any year that he's had, and he turns it on late. So, yes, I will say fair.
I will also say fair. However, there are a couple things. He better do it this year, because if he doesn't do it this year, the questions are going to start being asked. And I don't know how he's going to deal with that kind of pressure. Because came out with a bang, got his bag, and Schulte, I love your optimism, but 240 ain't going to cut it for me. I think there is a very, very good chance that Julio Rodriguez is an A-plus defender and is a 275, 30 home run guy. I think there's a very realistic chance that that's the case.
That ain't bad. That was...
That ain't bad. That's Torii Hunter.
That's Carlos Beltran.
That's Carlos Beltran. That's Torii Hunter.
Yeah.
Both those guys are fringe Hall of Famers.
I'm trying to pull up a certain player's career stat line before I say it out loud because I think...
You're about to offend somebody.
Uh-oh. Well, yeah. You pulling out like an Andrew Jones comparison or some bullshit?
No, Andrew Jones was good.
I think he
can get a lot of home runs.
I mean, I think it's going to make you even more mad. But honestly, when I'm looking at this career line...
Oh, God.
I don't think you're going to be upset with a Derek Lee-esque career.
For a center fielder?
Yeah. I mean, hell, Derek Lee, he had 331 home runs.
Derek Lee?
Derek
Sorry,
Lee.
Sorry, I spaced off there for a moment. Derek Lee? You're comparing Julio Rodriguez to Derek Lee? Derek Lee won a World Series.
He did.
Just saying.
Won 0 gold gloves, though.
That's not true. He won 3.
He won
3 gold gloves?
So oh, it says right here on his baseball reference.
I mean, he's tall, dude.
Well, that's true.
3 gold gloves, silver slugger,
World
batting
World
titles.
2003. Marlins.
I mean. At this point, if you're Julio, are you upset with that?
Derek Lee got paid, too.
Now I have
when he
to,
went to Chicago.
I have to go to Julio's baseball reference page to see what his, like, his
comparable players.
Yes, what he's tracking.
Oh,
at.
Yeah, yeah. What is
those.
Reference?
That,
yeah,
yeah,
I want to know what reference says.
Yeah, all right. Screw
Raul Ibanez.
You literally almost made me say the F word. You literally. Oh, my God. I almost said a double.
Similar batters through the age of 23. Jack Clark, Jeff Francoeur.
Oh, dude, Francoeur was one of the largest prospects in the history of Major League Baseball.
So this list,
he was a pretty good player.
Dell Ennis, Greg Luzinski.
Through the age of 23, this list is pretty hard to compare to.
Jeff Burrows. Wait, hold on. I'm getting there. Michael Harris the second. But at number 7, Barry effing Bonds.
Barry effing Bonds?
What about in the next category? What about players he's tracking?
Just
like?
Similar batters right now. Luis Robert Jr.
Oh, God. Uh-oh. Heaven help us all.
Rocco Baldelli.
Oh,
Jim Greengrass do it for you?
Down goes Anderson! Down goes Anderson!
Oh, Joe, these are some scary truths you're dropping here,
I don't even see Derek Lee anywhere on this list.
I don't think I'm ever going to ask a question about Julio again, guys. Holy ass.
I love, for the record, I love Julio. My wife yesterday wore my, I have a T-shirt. I have a jersey from Julio Rodriguez.
Nice. Teal or blue?
Blue.
All right.
see through.
Look at those nipples.
Makes my nipple piercings pop.
Hell yes.
Listen, I think Julio is a charming young fella. I think he's nice.
I think he's super fun to watch play baseball.
Yeah, it's just...
especially if you sit in the outfield.
Yeah, it's just, you know, be better.
Yeah, be better. That's you gotta be better at your job, bud.
Be a little better.
Because you kind of suck.
Just be a little better.
Be a little better.
Yeah.
275. All right, that's Fair or Foul. We do it every single Tuesday at the bottom of the 8 o'clock hour. When we come back, we'll wrap up shop. Hot Corner today, the fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.